Welcome back, Mail and Crew. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. Almost the end of the week. I'm your host, Brett Merriman. To my right, we have the lovely, the one and only Sally DeFries back in the building. Sally, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very happy that there's no video today. Sorry.
Sorry, folks.
To the fans. But I don't look great. I came straight from the OR, and there's a lot to be desired about my appearance right now.
You look great. I like the figs going on.
Yeah, my figs.
Shouts to Figs, former sponsor of ours.
Scrubs for sluts.
Is that what the...
Only... No.
What? Why?
There's a podcast called Ride with Mary Beth Barone and Benny Drama. And they...
Benny Drama.
Yeah. Benito Skinner. Okay. Benny Drama on Instagram. Shouts to them. They have a podcast where basically it's just the two of them. They're talking, and each episode they ride for something and they talk about it. And she, one episode talks about figs being scrubs for sluts. And ever since then, it's like our inside joke at work. It's like scrubs for sluts.
But it's because it's like, is it like form like fitting?
Yeah, form kind fitting, of like sexy. Little athleisure. Okay. Like you got, I mean, I'm wearing like regular scrubs today, but they've got the joggers. You've got the like high waisted.
Interesting.
They're fashion scrubs.
They made scrubs fashionable.
Yeah.
Can dudes wear them too? Like,
A lot of people at work wear figs. A lot of guys too.
Yeah. So they've kind of taken over the market, huh?
They have taken over the market. And good for them. Arguably some of the best fabric out there.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? You know that, Randy?
We should get them back as a sponsor, but like, don't lead with the fact that I said scrubs for sluts.
I think if I'm Figs, I love having a tagline.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh yeah, scrubs for hot people.
Yeah.
HPO.
HPO. Yeah. Scrubs only.
Scrubs only. Speaking of something medical, I have to bring this up. I heard of Botox for the first time this weekend. Shouts to just Rachel's Botox friend Allie.
Guys get?
It's Botox that guys get in a number of different places. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Face. Private areas. Apparently it's like a thing. I didn't know that.
You can get Botox in your privates?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
I don't know exactly what it does.
I mean, we do Botox in like people's bladders. Y'all have talked about that before.
Yeah, you know, we have. Help boost their confidence, sex lives, and careers. Crow's feet, frown lines, drooping brows, forehead creases, saggy mouth lines.
That all sounds like the face.
That is. But you can also, for those with erectile dysfunction or those that want increased erectile function, also you can go in the piece.
Okay, I've never been a part of that procedure before.
I just thought it was interesting that people, the things that people do these days. A tiny needle is used to administer the Botox into the penis. The clinical impact is the patient's erection becomes stronger, harder, and longer lasting.
Interesting.
Yeah. Lasts for about 4 months.
I guess maybe I've never heard of this because I am not a male, and also we haven't ever done this to patients like in the OR. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's probably like being done in the office.
Like a cosmetic or aesthetic?
Aesthetic.
Is that what I'm looking for?
Well, but it's not really aesthetic if it's down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's the aesthetic of your piece.
I thought that was supposed to make your muscles more relaxed, though. Like
it's probably. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know what the medicine is behind that. I'm sure I could go Google it and figure it out. But I'm sure it blocks some something. Who knows?
Shouts to Dr. Frank Agulo, MD, who's seems to be at the forefront of this.
Wow! Congrats to him.
Congrats to him and congrats to us because we have another episode of the Mail-In Podcast for you today. You can tell a friend about it, send the show around, be like, hey, they answered my question. Or maybe have a friend's question answered that you may need answered. How about that? Subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify, hit the hotline number 888-362-6245. Or you can write in at the link in the Twitter bio at Mail-In Podcast or in the description of this episode. We'll get right into it, Sal.
Let's jump in.
Hey, guys. I'm begging to know what Sally uses to curl her hair. The fourth slide of the Sunday Scaries Point Me post stopped me mid-scroll.
Wow.
How about that? Just gassing you up.
Thank you. And as I said, I'm in like a real fugly era right now. So that made me feel good about myself. But to be fair, that picture was from 2 years ago. So, okay, let me, first of all, you know when you get a haircut?
Yeah.
Actually, Brett, do you know when you get a haircut? Have you had one recently?
It has been since December, but I am going the first week of May to get a full summer trim. More than a trim. I'm going to be getting
a... Is it as long up top or you have a mullet happening?
No, it's long. It's like long, long.
Brett.
It's very long. It's time.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going 2 weeks. I'll have a haircut.
Okay.
Sally's not a fan of mine.
I mean, he's about to have a full-blown man bun, right, Randy?
It's pretty long.
It's almost as long as mine, okay?
It can get man... I could do it right now.
You could do it.
Yeah.
I got a haircut like 2 weeks ago, and you know when you get a haircut and you just like don't know how to style your hair for like the first few weeks because you're like, I feel like this is probably not, I feel like guys is like the immediate first couple days where like this is too short.
Yeah, you kind of like, default into like just shush it up. And
whereas for girls, when you get a chop, your hairstylist does it perfect and you leave and you're like, God, I look awesome.
Yeah.
And then you can never recreate what they did. And then you just, then it's like, because it's so much hair and it's just like all the same length, even if you get layers, it's just like a weird situation. That's right. Where I am right now. Shouts to my hair girl, Brittany Blonde Leopard. She is like a goddess. Love her.
Brittany the Blonde Leopard?
No, Brittany at Blonde Leopard. Blonde Leopard. She's amazing. And every time I leave, I'm like, I needed a haircut. Mm-hmm. Like my hair, I needed to chop off some inches, which she did. When I left though, looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot recreate her magic. I just can't do it. But so I'm at a weird length right now where I'm like trying to figure it out. But what I curled with my hair with then, I'm pretty sure, let me check on Amazon, is a Conair curling iron 1.25, 1¼-inch barrel.
Okay. Is that, obviously I feel like Dyson has sort of become the standard these days when it comes to women's hair care. Why is that?
I mean, it's probably the Yeti effect where things are pretty expensive, so it makes it feel like people need it.
Okay.
I have the Dyson hair dryer, which I swear by. I love that thing. And I have a lot of hair, so it dries my hair quickly without like damaging the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I have never actually used an air wrap. And I don't know that I would like love it because I like my hair to be like curled versus like I don't like a round brush curling situation.
Okay.
That's more of an air wrap is more of a like a blowout look.
Got it. Okay. I know what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Like
I'm not a huge
big loose curls.
Yeah, gotcha.
That doesn't look great on me specifically, but it looks great on other people.
I could probably try that right now.
Yeah.
Just get some big loose
the exact curling iron I used in that photo was the Conair Infinity Pro.
Okay.
Tourmaline. Am I pronouncing that right? Tourmaline?
It's me.
Ceramic curling iron, 1¼-inch barrel. But it's $25. It'll run you $26 on Amazon.
Oh, hell yeah. Snag one of those for sure. What's your current hair routine?
But here's the thing. I have recently switched curling irons.
Oh.
In that photo, I'm currently using that one actually because I need a smaller barrel. But when my hair is longer and I want like looser curls, I just recently switched to the Bioionic curling iron, which is a little more expensive, like $100. But they're currently doing like 25 or 30% off like all the time. Once you like look them up once, you'll get like a million ads on Instagram. And I have a 1½-inch there. But and it's got a long barrel. So you can like curl all your hair if you have long hair.
Got it. Okay.
But my current hair routine is I'm only wash once a week.
Me too. Everybody knows that.
I use the Goop Getox scalp scrub.
Okay. Goop Getox scalp scrub.
Himalayan salt. It's literally like exfoliator, but it lathers better than anything I've ever used. You would think like, am I going to get all these exfoliation beads in my scalp? No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Use that. Kay. Lather the hell up. Your hair will be squeaky clean.
Nice.
And then I use the Don't Despair Repair hair mask.
Okay. Don't despair, repair hair mask.
And then I just let it air dry. Actually, I blow dried it on Saturday morning, but normally I let it air dry.
Okay.
And then I just keep that. I just touch it up like a cup every few days.
Got you. I got you. I like it. I go wash once a week-ish. If I played hockey twice that week.
Yeah. If I'm doing something really sweaty.
Yeah. I'll hop in.
Let's use regular hygiene rules here. Okay.
But for the summer, I think I've kind of been in the hat wearing thing because it takes a lot to do this hair now that it's so long. So for the summer, once it's a little shorter, we'll go back to the roots, pun intended. And that's going to be wash once a week. We'll get the salt spray going, sea salt spray, obviously. I like Bumble and Bumble for that, or Not Your Mother's. Uh-huh. Can't go wrong. And then we'll throw in some sun in for sure at some point this summer.
The sun in doesn't make your hair turn cat pee yellow.
No, it goes. It's a beautiful blonde, and it kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of sun, obviously. But my hair always lightens up in the summer, but it gives it sort of like a highlighted, you know, just very blonde. And we'll get back on the really chemical train for sure.
Little Barbie blonde.
And then right now I'm using a kind of a clay sort of cement. I forget what it's called. It's cement like hair product that I don't use a lot right now because my hair is so long. But that'll be a summertime thing. Medium hold, matte finish.
Wow.
That's right. For those who are wondering that don't curl their hair. Or if they do, go for it. Not my thing, but if you want to do both, hop in.
Sure.
I'm hopping into Prize Picks this weekend, Sally. You know what they are?
Tell me. I'm sure you'll tell me all about it.
Well, they're America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. How about that? It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite sports and favorite players, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. So March is over, Sally, but the biggest moments in the NHL and NBA are just about here. Playoffs.
The playoffs.
Playoffs. Talking playoffs? Playoffs. Just a Jim Mora. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball and hockey's postseason. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and baseball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. How about this? You can bet LeBron, Connor McDavid, over-unders. Easy. It's the best way to get on the action. Sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia, which famously can't just regular sports gamble out there. So Prize Picks is the perfect alternative. Mm-hmm. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. What's your what playoff series are you really intrigued by this April, Sally? Is it the Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings?
Yeah.
Dallas Stars, Vegas Golden Knights, perhaps?
I don't even know if I can watch hockey, to be honest. I'm really upset about the Red Wings.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a really tough final day of the regular season for them.
Yeah.
So Prize Picks could have made your night better. So maybe you're on the...
Maybe your team loses, but you win in Prize Picks.
Exactly.
Right?
Maybe you're watching the Celtics or the Heat, the Nuggets, play the Lakers. It's LeBron's team. And Prize Picks could help you win money on those games. So download the app today and use code MAIL for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today. Use code MAIL for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Next one.
This me?
Sure.
Hey, crew. I live in the U.S. and one of my best friends lives in London.
London.
Last November, I flew to her wedding. It was a 2-day event, and I didn't know anybody except my friend, aka the bride. Everyone except me was given a plus one. I was pretty nervous for such an intense social situation. I did my best at the wedding. I socialized with all her other friends and my and family and hit it off with a lot of people. But by night two of the wedding, I was definitely losing steam. During the evening party, everyone was dancing with their plus ones and it was awkward. But I pressed on and made it about 4 hours into the evening party before I decided to leave. I hugged my friend goodbye before heading out and could tell she was surprised I was leaving early. I sent a thank you text the next morning and thought everything was fine. Since then, she hasn't been responsive to texts and the friendship just feels off. I point blank asked her via text if everything was okay. She didn't answer the question, but responded and asked about my work and recent vacation. Unfortunately, since the conversation, she's gone back to not responding to texts and not viewing my Instagram stories, which is unlike her. I'm not sure what to do after asking her point blank if everything is okay. Should I stop trying? Did leaving the wedding early cause a friendship divorce?
You made a monumental effort to fly to a country that is not your own for like 48 hours.
Yeah.
That in itself should be all the friend needs to know about your level of dedication to their friendship. And because you left after 4 hours should not mean a thing when it comes to like, oh, I just, you like, I don't want to be around. Like, how does that make any sense? I mean, if you left right after the wedding ceremony and like was like, hey, I'm gonna skip the ceremony, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Skip the everything else. Like it's like, why'd you do that? But I think you put in plenty of effort.
Yeah.
And we're there for 4 hours. Like I think you did more than enough to at least take away any of the friendship divorce stuff. If you bailed early and it was like 8 o'clock, you'd be like, oh, that's weird. You came all the way out here just to go back to your hotel room or something like that. But I think you put in more than enough effort. And I get the going to a wedding solo is tough when you've kind of exhausted the friend group that you've been kind of hanging around all and people are starting to dance with their plus ones and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, tip them the cap. Like I put my time in. I got what I needed to. You got what you needed to. I think it's like respect, handshake, walk away. Is that crazy?
No. Here's how I feel about this. A couple points. Number one, I agree with everything you said. She's made an effort. I think this is my issue with weddings. In weddings specifically, the culture around weddings when you're in your 20s. That there's so much anxiety and thought that goes around them. And the thought of brides that everyone has to be at their wedding till 2 a.m. like partying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you not enjoying yourself at your wedding enough that you have to keep track and tabs on everyone to like see what they're doing?
I feel like people like the bride specifically, and I'm sure I would be guilty of this. I know myself, like kind of reading the temperature of the room and being like, are people having fun?
Right.
Are people having fun? Like my wedding is going to be based on somebody else's like the vibe.
The barometer of how successful it is based on like if other people are like behaving the way that you expect them to. Mm-hmm. I think this all kind of stems back to like the pressure and like probably any bride who's like spent a year planning an event is going to really like want people to enjoy it. So I think if you are at the wedding and you're just being a regular wedding guest and like enjoying yourself, talking to other people, you don't really have anything to be worried about. Slash, I wouldn't blame you for leaving when you don't know anybody. But I, the only time I think it's acceptable to like call someone out is if they A, make a drunk scene at your wedding.
Yep.
Or B, just like really egregious behavior, like just sitting in the corner, like either crying or pouting and like texting on your phone and like clearly not like, then it's kind of like, just why are you here? You know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like she did any of those things. So my point is, a lot of female friendships, in my opinion, when you're this age and these big things are happening in people's lives, I'm talking wedding, baby shower, people getting pregnant, people getting married, people moving across the country, people getting new jobs, people going to law school, people going to grad school, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Everyone is just so wrapped up in their own shit that when you feel insecure about something or like, did I say something wrong or did I offend you or whatever, most of the time, you didn't, and the friend is wrapped up in their own stuff. So My argument here is, and I'm not trying to play devil's advocate because I totally agree with you. Like going cross Atlantic to like someone's wedding earns you some damn points, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I would ask the friend point blank. Like she said, she asked her everything okay, but I'm like, did you ask her, is everything okay? Or did you ask her like, hey, things have felt weird since your wedding and I just want to make sure I didn't do anything.
Yeah, be
like,
more direct.
That something didn't happen that has like upset you. And if I did, please let me know so that I can apologize and make it right. But like, I don't feel like things have been the same since.
Yeah.
I think that's a must have direct communication between two friends. My other thing is like, is the friend who got married, like, what's her deal right now? Like she lives in a different country. Probably the time changes at least 5 to 6 hours. So does that factor into it? It's like maybe you're texting her and she's seeing it and then forgetting to respond, et cetera. Like maybe she's not getting on Instagram all the time. I'm not trying to like give her the benefit. I mean, I am trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, but like a lot of the things that we build up from our own insecurity and anxiety are really not that big of a deal to other people that maybe they're just like, sorry, like I have been so, I do this all the time. I like see a message at work, see it, catalog it, mean to respond, and then completely forget till like 2 weeks later when someone texts me, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. And it's because I have a bunch of shit going on at work and at home. And I'm not trying to say that I don't value my friends, but it's like when you are doing stuff or you have something on your mind, I'm just saying there might not be nefarious reasons as to why.
Yeah.
The friend's pissed. Right. So I think have a point blank, like she said, but like have a full address it. Don't even like skate around it. Like, hey, you good girl? Like, no. Hey, Nicole, feel like things have been weird. Would love to get on the phone. Like call her. Cause I feel like if you are on the phone, someone can't like
weasel
read a text
out,
and then like not answer a question directly.
Yeah.
And then you'll have an answer. And if it's really not a big deal, that it is what it is. But like you live in two separate countries. You can't, unless it's your like best friend, which maybe they are. But like if she's the only person this girl knows, then I doubt that they're like BFF for life. You're even your best friend you're not talking to on the phone every day.
Yeah.
So I think setting clear expectations of like what you want out of the friendship. Is it more that you're like hurt because she's like not responding to you, which I get, but also if she's acting weird because you left her wedding after making and it like just insane effort to like be there for her and hang out with her and be at her wedding when you didn't know anybody and she's butthurt about that, then that says a lot more about her than it does about you.
Yeah.
So I would ask her directly, see what she says. If she's really upset about it, I think you apologize and say like, I hope that this doesn't come between us. It feels like it already has, but I would love to get back to where we were.
Yeah, let's chat through it. If I'm like, hey, I was tired. I was in London and time, whatever. You can like explain.
But you
that.
Don't like
yeah.
over anything. I mean, you weren't like causing a scene. You just left. Like, and after hours of being there, you didn't like Irish goodbye after 15 minutes.
Right.
My other point is, If she does come back and is like, hey, things have just been crazy. Like, it's been hard adjusting to a no country, blah, 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 whatever it is. Just take her at what she says and don't put your own bias on it being like, okay, well, she said that, but like, I actually still think she's mad at me. Because then you're just take what she says and decide how you're going to act after that. This is like unfortunate, but I'm telling you this happens so much more than even we realize and we get questions about it all the time. People get weird around events that revolve around them.
Yeah. And people like to try to solve it in like these indirect sort of vibe feeling means. And it could be just as easy as calling her up and be like, hey, are you mad I didn't stay until 2 a.m. at your wedding?
Okay, wrong dupe.
Literally,
this is like when girls are in like third and fourth grade, probably fourth grade is the beginning of this through like peaks in middle school of like, hey, Sarah, we're mad at you. Why are you mad at me? Well, if you don't know, then I can't help you. Now I'm mad at you more because you don't know. Girls do that shit and then they cause drama because they like one thing pisses them off and then they like start ignoring each other instead of just being adults.
Ends friendships.
And the thing about adulthood is it's that still continues, except for then all of us have like conditioned ourselves to having the like massive anxiety of like, is someone mad at me? So someone might not be mad at you. And instead of taking them at further word for it or just like being like, well, if they're an adult, they'll confront me. If they're pissed at me, we create all these like anxious situations of like, oh my God, what did I say? Like, did I do the right thing? Like, why are they pissed? Are they pissed because I like left the wedding early? Like, that's what, so it's still the same, like stepping around each other and instead of like being direct.
Exactly. And
the circle
of life. Next one, Sal. Hey, I work about 60 hours Monday through Friday. Lately, my girlfriend has talked about how much caffeine I drink during the week. 2 energy drinks. I don't need to work this many hours, but it helps when it comes to bonus time so we can go on nice trips and fancy dinners. Am I in the wrong for telling her that I need this caffeine? P.S. I find it hypocritical. She's bothering me about my caffeine intake as she's prescribed Adderall and takes it daily.
Okay.
I'm guessing this means 2 drinks a day
during the week. I think that that's what this means.
Yeah.
Sorry, the writer didn't make it the most clear. We ad-libbed. I think that that's what this means.
Yeah. As a medical professional, Sally, let me be the first to say, I'm guilty of doing
is in a Celsius?
200 milligrams of caffeine. And it says, not recommended for going more than 2 servings per day, which would be 2 cans.
Okay. Your caffeine intake is your prerogative. I think 2 a day, like I personally know my limit is probably 1. And if the days that I had like a coffee and then a Celsius, I'm like shaky as hell.
Sure.
I'm like, but if you are...
Your body... sort of adapts
your
to
body
it, right?
gains so, tolerance. Yes. I think if you're not like mainlining monsters, like I think you're probably fine. That being said, I don't think you can say that she's hypocritical if she's taking Adderall. If you are. I'm under the assumption she's prescribed Adderall.
Yeah, for like a very much non like energy related
thing. Because she has ADHD or ADD. But if she's taking Adderall and doesn't need it, then that's a whole other story. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it says she's prescribed. So I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. So I wouldn't use that argument against her. She's probably concerned about your intake and like being healthy.
Yeah, and if you have a heart condition or like struggle with the effects of caffeine and you like start going crazy or get really up, down, anxiety riddled, can't sleep, that's one thing. But just intake wise, you're not having 6 a day to the point of where your heart's going to stop. You're not like you're doing what your body is like kind of asking you for and you're working with it and you're fine. So I'm not sure if she's concerned. Maybe she's concerned. If you're having like C4 energy drink where there's like 600 milligrams of caffeine per serving and also 19,000 other ingredients that are definitely a little on the understudied side. Maybe that's the way to put it.
So I'm going to just come out and say like arguably caffeine is not great for us.
The drug, like the like synthetic caffeine, everything else outside.
Right.
Okay.
And this is coming from someone who had an Americano this morning. Okay. So like I know caffeine's not great for me. Mm-hmm. I still have it in the same way that I know alcohol's poison and I still drink it.
Sure.
So that all being said, I'm sure that there are copious amounts of podcasts like Huberman Lab that you can listen to about the detrimental effects of caffeine and how you should, you know, I'm sure that there are. I was actually talking to someone today about how like you should wait to have your first cup of coffee or caffeinated beverage till after a certain time because of the cortisol and blah, blah, blah. Someone was explaining this to me and I was like, sure. I still have my Americano at 8 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and to be fair, I think the older I get, the more I listen to my body of like, hey, if I have caffeine past a certain time, I can't go to sleep, like that. I am fully aware. Also, like, whenever we are intaking caffeine, we are basically quieting our, like, internal clock.
I see.
There's a lot more scientific that, like, I'm not going to. I'm not Joe Rogan. Okay.
Sure. Sure. You're.
And he's not a doctor either. So
circadian.
I'm not trying to like. Don't listen to me. And in terms of like what a medical professional, like I'm not a hormone expert. Okay. But there are detrimental effects of caffeine.
And we have seen spikes your heart rate, blood pressure.
Right. We have seen that after certain levels, in the same sense of like, you know, how much salt or sugar intake you have in a day, that once you go past a certain level, then the detrimental effects become a lot worse. Mm-hmm. That being said, you can pretty much make an argument that every single thing in this world is going to be shitty for you, with probably the exception of like water.
Water, yeah.
So when people start feeding me shit like this, I just have to take it with a grain of salt, because I'm like, and I get preachy about shit like this too.
Sure. We all do. We all love to get on a high horse on something. Yeah.
And it's the same way of like somebody telling me about how the electromagnetic radiation this, but then they smoke cigs. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, we can assume that electromagnetic radiation causes this, but we know that cigs cause lung cancer.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
you know, there's a pretty clear correlation there. So, again, take everything with a grain of salt. I think if your girlfriend is like really starting to piss you off, if it's just like side comments, like whatever, brush it off. Mm-hmm. But if you're starting to get pissed, be like, listen, this is where I'm at. If you're really concerned with my health, like if you're, it's that concerning, I will try to work on it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say to her. But like, I think if she's noticing, maybe she's sitting there dating you and noticing like you're getting home and like just unable to unwind because you're so hyped up and like.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the root of her issue with it? Is it she thinks caffeine causes heart damage or brain, like whatever, what, like, or she thinks it causes you to be a different person, or she thinks it causes, or the ingredients that aren't caffeine.
Or you're like staying up till 1 a.m. and she's annoyed. Like,
yeah. Like what's the root of the issue there?
That Will does health wise and me the same, where I'm like, hey, I would love if you stopped doing that. But like, I'm also not going to like harp on his ass unless it's like truly detrimental to him.
Yeah, totally. I think everybody kind of has that stuff.
Like, we're all like that. We're all like, oh, Will, you should like drink more water. And then he's probably like, oh, you should stop scrolling on your phone. And then we just are like, okay,
Randy,
well,
Randy should stop having like 19 nerds ropes a day.
Yeah. And then we're like, hey, I guess we're just going to like be fine with what else we're doing. Like, unless it's like truly pissing me off. But I don't think this is like that egregious.
I think it's. You said, am I in the wrong for telling her I need this caffeine? Like, I'm equating it to a need for my body. I don't think that's the language I would use. I just kind of say, hey, like,
I like it.
I'm more productive with it in my life. And I don't necessarily need two every day, but some days I'm dragging it 2 o'clock. And if you're staying up,
up
for this purpose of like working until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
With Kev, maybe that's why she's pissed.
Yeah.
Like, hey, shut it down at 6 if you can, and let's have dinner together.
You know?
So maybe there's a different reason other than
maybe
just the
there's
caffeine
like a root. Yeah.
Intake. And it's like what the caffeine makes you do.
Right.
Sort of like alcohol in some cases.
Yeah. Like, I don't need alcohol, but I love a glass of wine.
Sure do.
But then if I'm like, if it would be a different story if I was an alcoholic.
Yeah. I love like, if you love like 9 glasses of wine.
Or a bottle every day.
Yeah. It's God, expensive
that would
too.
Be the worst. Think about the hangover of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, mail and crew, I'll be tactical with this one. I'm getting married in less than a month. My future mother-in-law had asked me what my wedding dress looked like, and I showed her a picture. Fast forward to a few weeks, and she sends a picture of her dress to my mom and I. And guess what? The dress has the exact same lace pattern except in a lavender color, which could easily be mistaken as white in the right lighting. I shook it off as she's been incredibly sweet to me and a bit clueless at times. However, she wore all white to my bridal shower last weekend and stood in the center of the group photo like she was the bride. Even my friends were horrified and made comments. Should I bother to say anything? Weddings are stressful as is, but it's starting to make me increasingly uncomfortable appreciate any advice.
Where do these mother-in-laws come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, this is straight up bananas.
Really? I was like, yeah, like she's doing.
No,
I don't know.
Okay. Here's the thing. You don't wear white. It's just like an understood. I mean,
oh, that's yeah.
You shouldn't be wearing white to any person's wedding events.
Correct. I mean,
white shirt, sure. White pants and a different top, sure. But no white white outfit. You don't get to wear all white. Okay. You get to wear all white every other day of the year if you want. Just don't do it at the wedding or other bridal events, especially if you're the mother or the mother of the groom, because that makes you look like a batshit crazy person. Okay. That makes you look like you want to marry your own son. Ooh. And that's a weird move.
Ooh. Why? I feel like mother-in-laws just have this, like, we get a ton of questions like this, and I don't put every one
because
of them
it's
in.
Not because it's not your own mom. It's Brett, crazy. When you have a mother-in-law one day, you will understand. And I'm not saying like, oh, you'll have a bad mother-in-law. You'll just get the dynamic a little bit better. And it's different. It's so much different for women because a lot of times mothers are more protective of their sons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm literally speaking directly to my mom who's like currently we're like dealing with my brother's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And like she was like this with us, but like we can tell her to back down. My brother, it's like, that's her son. That's her like baby.
Yeah. There's,
you
like
know what I'm saying? And so like we have to take on the role of being like, you're being crazy. You got to stop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's not your own mom. So you can't tell them like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So yes, you need to say something to her. I would personally let your fiance.
I was going to say, can you run through the conduit there, Mr. Fiance?
Yes. Mr. Fiance gets to call his mom up and say, you got to find a new dress. Ashley's really upset. Multiple of her friends. I wouldn't start drama. So I would not even say multiple of her friends made comments about how you tried to be the bride at her bridal shower. But I would maybe have him say like, hey, Ashley said the dress that you are going to wear looks very similar to hers and it feels a little bridally. And your son would feel better if you wore something else. I really want to give her the opportunity to like have, like, I want all the attention to be on my bride. Make it like that. Like, I love you. You can look beautiful. I'll help you find a dress, but like, I don't think that that's an appropriate thing to wear.
Yeah, we got to rock with something non-white.
And then if he's close to white, refusing to do that because that was something my brother would probably do and my future sister-in-law is going to have to like, if this was something my mom was doing, then you can go to her yourself and be like, hey, I really like, I think that's a beautiful dress, but I really think it looks a little too similar to mine. And I would appreciate it if you wore something else. And you don't, like, if she starts causing a fit about it, then you can get your fiance involved. But you don't have to, like, be like, I don't want you to wear that because it looks too similar to mine. You can just say, like, I would appreciate if you wore something else. I would like to only be the one wearing lace.
Sure.
Or and, whatever it is. Or, you know, pick whatever reason you need.
All right.
Be nice.
I came around on this a little bit. First, I was like, don't worry about it. But then I get it.
Yeah, like, especially if it's like, could be misconstrued, and it would be by your friends who clearly already think she's bonkers.
I love that, like, you sent her a picture of your dress, and then she went out of her way to find something like that.
Right.
If that's really happening, like,
your ability to coordinate, but I think that's actually a great thing to say. I think that you attempted to coordinate with me, which is really sweet, but I think it looks too much like mine, and I would really like to be the only one wearing
XYZ.
Yeah.
Kill her with kindness,
silhouette with lace, whatever. But yeah, maybe she's totally clueless, but that's a bananas move, and someone needs to call her out.
Hey, guys. How do you say no to people when you're usually the go-to yes person for favors? It's time to recharge for myself, and it's hard to be selfish to do that, even short term. What's your parable of wisdom? The traffic
boundaries.
Light? The traffic.
The
light.
Boundaries. Okay. a couple things. Number one, I wish we had like specific examples of what she's talking about.
Totally. I'm thinking of like,
and I assumed this was a girl.
I'm going to assume as well.
It could be a male. And actually, the reason I say that is because me and my brother are like my mom's go-to people when she needs something done.
The yes men and women.
She knows out of all the siblings, me and Harry will say yes. Mm-hmm. I thankfully, one, learned how to say no, but two, also had kids and then have to be like, sorry, I can't.
Who have built an excuse.
But Will would probably argue that I still tell her yes too much. Okay. So here's my thing. Number one, go get the Book of Boundaries by Melissa Urban and read stuff like that, because then you really understand the psychology of like people pleasing and also saying yes to things. To me, it like depends on what the context is. Like, are you saying yes to things you really don't want to do, or you're just like always the friend who's doing stuff and so you're exhausted, which it sounds like she is.
But something it's like that.
Are you uncomfortable doing these things, or are people just like dumping shit on you because they know that you're like a pushover and that you'll let them do it?
Right.
So the great thing is she gives very specific examples for like with your in-laws, with your partner, with your coworker, with your whatever. So like depending on who is the person dumping shit on you or being annoying about something, it gives examples that way. I also think this came with age and maturity and understanding that like I needed, which clearly this person does, realizes that they need time to decompress, do stuff on their own, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, this starts as someone asks you like, hey, can you pick me up from the airport?
Sure.
Which at this day and age, like get an Uber. Come on. Okay. I like never pick people up from the airport anymore, nor would I expect
The only time I do it is if it's like a significant other, like Rachel's coming home from something, or if it's like a friend that I'm excited to have in town for the weekend or something like that. That's one thing. But if
Or like Will's parents who like are not familiar with Austin and like, or like his cousin's coming to visit this weekend, who's like not familiar with Austin, is from Michigan with tiny airports, and that's just going to be really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Right. So of course I'll do that. But like, Will, you're coming back from Vegas. Like you can get in an Uber. Okay. I'm not going to get a babysitter so I can go pick you up. Like,
did you ever hear the story of what Randy did coming home from the airport one time?
No.
Oh, that was bad.
Randy was so hungover coming home from a bachelor party.
Yep. Nashville.
That he had driven to the airport. Mm-hmm. He had a friend of the program, J-Bone, Uber to the airport.
No, it was his fiance dropped him off, but yeah, still.
Okay.
And drive you home in
and
the
drove
car.
Randy in his own car home.
That's actually really sweet of Jared.
Yes, and then I paid for his Uber back to his place, everything. I asked him, like, if you could do this, that'd be awesome. If not, I'm just going to take an Uber back and get an Uber back to the airport and pay an extra day for it to be in the lot because I could not drive.
Too hungover to drive.
That's hilarious.
That was the worst hangover part of my life.
So I think it kind of depends on like who's asking you. Is it someone who asks you all the time? Are they like menial tasks? Are they big things? Like, are you the go-to person because you have a truck that people keep asking about the move?
That's true.
Like that all depends. So one, having that book as a resource is really helpful just in general, I think, but also for stuff like this. But then the more you value yourself, the more you are able to say no, in my opinion. Because then you also realize that when you have time to recharge and be by yourself and relax, you have more time and like better energy to give to your friends and family who need it from you. So like, I am going to say no to something because I know that I'll be a better friend next time I see you and we can like actually enjoy lunch together versus like me being resentful of the fact that I helped you do said task 2 weeks ago.
There's almost like an equation in my head where it's like, is the value of the short-term people-pleasing greater or less than the value of the alone time, recharge, et cetera? If you have enough of a charge, then spend some of that on helping your buddy move a margarita machine
right.
or something in your truck, like right? And then there's also the context of this where I have a hard time saying no to like weddings or travel events.
Right. You are not saying no to other people's time. Like you are giving your time up.
Yes.
Right.
Or money. Like it's hard. So I say I need to get better at it, but I truly enjoy those things too. So it's almost like a catch 22, I guess. But in the, this feels like more local or more coworker heavy. Like, hey, can you read this over for me and redline it? I don't have time. And you're like, oh, right. Yeah, sure. Because there's some sort of like, I'm going to get ahead in my career and please these people, or some sort of like FaceTime thing where I think as you get older and more mature and sort of grow in your career, you realize you don't need to do everything. Like, you don't need to do everybody else's homework.
One thing I also really liked too about the Book of Boundaries that has helped me is that when you say no to people, and this is, I think this is more specifically women in general, just because we were always taught that like, you need to be amenable. You need to say yes to people. You need to be pleasing to people. When you say no, you don't have to give an answer. No is no. Okay. Like if you ask me like, hey, can you like go to dinner on Thursday? I can just straight up say no. I don't have to give you an excuse. I don't have to say we don't have a babysitter. I don't have to say, nah, I'm like working late and I'm tired, which is probably the reason why I would say no. You don't have to give a reason at all. And honestly, that was something I realized. It became easier for me to say no when I stopped giving reasons. Yeah. Because I think a lot of the anxiety around saying no is like, well, I don't really have a valid reason. Like, well, it's on a Saturday and I don't have anything to do. And I was just going to like read and like go shopping and go to the farmer's market. But like, I could pick her up from the airport. And saying like, no, I can't because I'm going to the farmer's market doesn't sound like a valid excuse. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give an excuse, then they don't have anything to say to you. Like,
yeah, just no.
If you say, I'm so sorry, wish I could help, I can't on Saturday. That's all I have to say. And then my mom will be like, but why? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I have another person in my life like that too. And it's so annoying. It's like, I said no, but I don't have to explain.
Right.
To you
don't
why.
Have to explain yourself. And if that person's asking you why, I mean, it's a little different, like in terms of like authority at work or something. If they're you need to do this task and you're like, no, like, You may have to, you know, there are times when maybe an explanation is necessary, but being comfortable saying no without saying anything else is a skill. You have to hone it. You have to be able to say no to people and feel comfortable in yourself and not think in the same way that we were talking about, like getting anxiety about whether what people think of you and did I hurt your feelings or did I do the right thing? Not worrying like, oh, I said no to Brett about dinner. Like, I hope he's not judging me or like worried about what I think of him or et cetera, et cetera. Just like, so sorry, can't do it this time. Mm-hmm. You could tack on it for niceties, like maybe another time, or you can just leave it at that, because especially when you don't give an excuse, it validates one, your own plans, and two, the fact that like, you can say no because you're saying no on your own free will, not because you have other shit to do and you normally would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's sort of freeing in that way.
Yes, like stop saying yes to people and stop saying no to people because of this. Mm-hmm. Just say no and they don't have to know your reason. And the same vein is like, this is horrible for me, but like when I call into work, I like give the full rundown. I'm like, well, Fritz is sick and like we don't have childcare. They're like, cool. I don't care. I just need to know that you're not going
to
be here.
You're not going to be here, right?
But I'm like a people pleaser. I'm like, I want you to know that I really would be there. No. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Just hey, I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I have the ability to do that. I have XYZ sick day, whatever.
Right.
I'm out.
It's none of your business.
Yeah.
I have a sick kid. They don't need the full reason.
Yeah.
And it seems more genuine when you say no, because when you say no, and then you're like, because like, Will's dad is coming in town and I just have like a million things to do. It just is like, okay, why did you tell me all that?
Paints, like a almost fake feeling picture.
Right.
And then God forbid you put up like one Instagram story where you're walking your dog and you're like, oh, see, you're super busy.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Don't be a bitch.
Yeah.
Kindly firm.
Kindly firm. Red, yellow, green. Your layers of nose.
And and the green could be like, so sorry, I can't help you.
Maybe
the red
time.
Is like, no, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's levels of firmness.
There's levels of firmness.
You don't owe anybody any explanation. You need time to yourself. Mm-hmm. And the more you say no, the more people realize that you're not going to say yes to them, and then they stop asking you.
You know, just because you say no once doesn't mean like I'd mix in a no, but then I'm definitely a people pleaser. I'm definitely like, oh yeah, I'll help you out, but you don't have to do it 100% of the time. And then you don't have to say no 100% of the time.
Right.
Just whatever you're comfortable with. You want to fish it up?
Hey, guys. Recently, every time I've told my wife that I love her, she responds with, I love you more. It used to be every once in a while, but more recently it has become nearly every time she responds. It makes it seem like loving each other is a competition. She's winning or something. Anyways, am I right in bringing this up that it bothers me, or should I just let it go and hopefully it's just a phase? Thanks in advance. Okay.
I'm like,
here's the deal.
Man, something... Maybe you should love your wife more.
Oh, is there?
No.
Is there something?
In my opinion, I think that she thinks she's being cute. Like, no, I love you more, babe. I love you more. Not like, I love you more. Yeah, I clearly love you more. Okay. It's like an 80% I love you, and then a 20% you love me. It's not even. I'm gonna bet. The odds, actually, I have terrible thoughts, so don't make me do this. But
like five to one.
Saw that, like, read this in a book or saw it on a show and was like, that's adorable. Yeah. I'm going to say that. In the same way of, like, being like, when you just have, like, okay, I'm going to out one of my friends right now. I'm not going to say names.
Okay.
Her and her husband, when they first started dating.
I said one to five, by the way. Yeah.
He used to tap her 3 times. And it would signify, like, I love you, but it was before he ever said it to her. It would be like, tap, tap, tap. And he was saying, like, I love you, but he hadn't, like, said the words loud. And I was like, that's adorable. And I did it to Will one time, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? You hear something that's so cute. And guarantee you, something like that happened. And
she's
like,
saw it somewhere. And she's like,
no, babe, I love you more.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a text, like, hey, I love you. Have a great day. Love you more. She probably thinks she's being cutesy. I'm gonna be 99% confident in that.
Yeah, she's doing a bit.
I think she's doing.
It's not even a bit. It's like she's like that. This is sweet. I love my husband.
Is there any way it could be a test or like she's like missing something else? Or are you trying to spice the relationship?
If you are really concerned about it and she keeps saying it, then I think the next time it happens, be like, hey,
I think it's so sweet
that you say that.
Yeah.
But I actually am concerned that you think you love me more and I don't feel that way. Like, I love you so much and I don't want you to feel like we're in a non-equal partnership.
Yeah.
Am
I failing the test by not responding?
Right. I think XYZ. That's an easy thing to say, like, hey, notice you said this. Or I wouldn't say like, I wouldn't bring it up out of nowhere. Just wait till the next time she does it and be like, hey, I love you so much. Like, this is equal, right? Like, you don't feel like you actually love me more. Like, that's such a sweet, like, cute thing to say.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to feel like I am not loving you enough or that this is a competition. And then just see what she says. Maybe she's like, no, I really do feel like I love you more. Then it's couple counseling central. But like, if she's just like, no, I'm just like, it's like colloquial. Like, I love you more.
Yeah. Then you're, I think either way you're fine. Just, If it doesn't bother you, you're just like, am I doing something wrong? Like, am I like, should I be like, I love you more? She, I love you the most.
She read that Taylor Swift says this to Travis Kelce, and she's like, I'm gonna start doing it.
I'm gonna pop in on it.
Just get some flowers, and next time she does it, you go, no, I love you more. And then you're a good guy.
Then what turn if I into actually a love
you the most? Can't come back from that.
Yeah, it's superlative.
Okay, this is why you two aren't allowed to have a podcast by yourselves. Talking about relationships.
Why? What did I say?
I'm kidding.
Don't. You're great. I'm sorry for any future love I have that I give them flowers.
No, I'm just saying, let's not actually turn it into a competition. Let's just show.
I love you the most, man.
No, I love you times infinity. There's no more numbers than that.
Can't do any more than that.
Infinity to the power of infinity.
Wow.
Infinity plus one.
That's just infinity, okay?
It's just infinity, yeah. Saw an infinity tattoo the other day. I'm not a big fan of that one.
I'm not really, to be fair, this is my shower thought. Like, I don't love infinity.
Ooh. As a concept or
as a concept. It's like too hard for me to wrap my brain around. And this is coming from someone who fucking loved calculus. Okay. I was really good at calculus. Could I do calculus now?
I loved it more than you.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Could I do calculus now? Absolutely not. Okay. But I was really good at it in college.
Okay.
But like the whole infinity, like no limits, et cetera, like that stresses me out. Like thinking about something going on forever and ever and ever is just,
it just does not stop.
Same with pi. I just like, that's too many decibels. I don't, decibels. Decimals.
Nice.
Like, let's just leave it at 3.14. Okay. I don't need to know. Do you even know what digits come after 1.14?
3.14159265535. That's as far as I can go.
That's what I know.
See, I don't want to know that. 3.14159265535. I am very analytical, and I like to know that things are like, and infinity is too many things.
A little abstract is a concept, right?
I don't like abstract. It's too, it stresses me out.
I don't like that you can't divide by zero.
It also, I don't like thinking about black holes, things like that. So like, or how space is infinite. Just, it's too scary. It's too much for my tiny pea brain to handle. And so that's why I could never be like a theoretical physicist or anything like that. Cause I'd be like, what the fuck?
Just kind of get like going up there. I need like, to, man, reel it in. You like more in the,
In the immediate. I need to know like black and white. I don't like to live in the grays. And infinity is in the grays for me, you know?
It is. I have a tough time with it. Sometimes some concepts just get so big so quickly. Yeah. You're just like, oh, man, reel it in.
But bring it back of course down you can't divide by zero. You can't divide by nothing.
It should just be the number. It should just be like I'm dividing it zero times. It should just be like one divided by zero should be one, not.
Okay, but that's divided by one.
I know. We don't have to get into this.
Brett failed calculus.
No. Really, I got a 4 on AP Calc.
Wow. Way to go.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
I'm pretty sure I got a 5.
Really?
I think so.
That's why I went to Purdue.
Yeah. I didn't have to take any math in college. It was great.
I actually retook calculus in college for the purpose of my GPA because I got a good score on whatever the AP stuff was. And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to retake calculus. So I got an A, both of them.
I did multivariable calculus in college. I didn't fail that. I didn't do great. I think that was just like a B-ish something in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I took it because I had to take it for my major because it got you into like this analytical risk management class. It was like a prerequisite for it. So
how many people did Lindsay Lohan make say the limit does not exist whenever the limit does not exist after Mean Girls, you know?
Yeah. Do you think she like runs back that or somebody's like, oh my God, Lindsay, the limit does not? And she's like, hey, yeah.
Like I remember when we learned about limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
In calculus and being like, hell yeah, I'm about to shout the limit does not exist.
You know what? What concept? So I really enjoyed physics. Did well, but like was like a consistent B+ physics guy. But magnetism, for whatever reason, that unit. Like hundreds across the board on everything. Magnetism. Yeah, like electromagnetism. Like that, whatever those equations were, I got them like immediately. It was like doing addition.
Did you do the finger thing?
Yeah, the finger. It was the hand thing for us.
Yeah, we don't have video right now. So yeah, but yeah.
It was if your hand is like this, the current goes that way.
There's something with fingers. Yeah.
The field goes that way and the rotation goes that way. It's crazy.
Magnets,
man. What's your favorite T-Swift song on the album?
I've only listened to like 4 songs on it.
Really? Well, you got some listening to do. You had a busy weekend though.
This is the thing. I'm not going to say that 30 songs is too much.
Yeah.
30 songs is too much to sit to digest binge
right away
in one sitting. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to take it slow, dive in. That's how I've been with her last couple albums. It's like I haven't done like a full listen through yet. Sure. And I'm a pretty big T-Swift fan.
Sure.
Like I support all of her endeavors. I think too the issue with the binging is like it all starts to sound the same, and then you kind of like lose what's good.
I think this album was uniquely songs sound the same.
She's clearly in her writing era, you know.
Right. She was like
she has lots of feelings she needs to get down on the page.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'm not gonna like yuck her yum, love her content, but I think a lot is like she needed to like write and like have the cathartic like experience of that versus like just putting out straight bangers.
This didn't feel like a stadium tour.
I would love another Reputation. I arguably think Reputation, like a 1989 great album, Reputation is pretty much all bangers. Like all of Reputation is bangers. And she says in that one documentary, like she was like really let down because Reputation like didn't get nominated for anything, and I'm like,
oh, she's
but it like in the nominations of like Sally's like bangers album. It's number one for me. I mean,
yeah, I get it. I get it. I just, it was kind of like she went folklore, Evermore, Tortured Poets. Like we got a lot of similar melody, that little similar
instrument
stuff.
I think she
stuff.
Was going
That's
through
fine.
A lot the past probably year.
I totally get it. The songs are, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just, it's a lot of similar stuff with a lot of different writing.
Good and if she her. Was she like, got the formula like down. Some indie artist, like yeah. no one would bat an eye.
No.
It's Taylor Swift. So we
People
hold her
to
a different
if she went to like something standard. Crazy different genre and was like, well, I'm going to be like a hip hop person now.
She could
be like, what the
she
fuck?
She could have reversed Beyonce.
Yeah. What if Taylor just dropped like some banger country songs again? Like,
but I think she's a phenomenal yeah, writer, and I think she yeah. really needed this to like, she was just putting out her. Plus, she's a drama queen. In the best way.
I think she loves the like the Easter egg stuff more than
if I was famous, anybody. I would do the exact same shit. I mean, you are talking to someone who I grew up in her generation and we're like the same age, both 1989 kids. We had AIM with away messages that you would absolutely subtweet people in. Then yeah. we were the first people to use Twitter, and all of Twitter was about subtweeting. Back in the day. Like, this is just her subtweeting people.
Yeah.
Well, like, and like loving, this is the human experience of wanting to be private, but also wanting people to know your shit. And so it's like reading an aloud journal or reading your journal aloud, but like making people guess. It's exact center of the tension, like narcissist shit that I love. I'm saying that like, I love that in her. Like, I would do the same stuff.
Yeah. She's having fun with it. Yeah, we don't think we give people the latitude to just have fun with their fortunes.
But I also think that people, like, absolutely losing their shit over one that, like, people being too into her or vice versa, the people who are really into her being like, don't yuck my numb. I want to be into Taylor Swift. Like, both those parties need to calm the hell down.
I totally agree. Totally agree. It's Game of Thrones Reddit for a generation of women.
Like, I don't need people arguing about Taylor Swift. At all,
yeah.
ever. But no, yeah, I like the album from what I've heard.
Have you
yeah.
listened to Thank You, All Me? It's supposed to be Amy. I don't know. I thought that was a big subtweet about some of one of her high school ops, and I thought it was hilarious.
Right,
but
it's
then,
about Kim Kardashian.
And then
about
Will,
Kim.
Yeah, then I learned it's about
she
Kim
spells
Kardashian.
It out the title.
Yeah, now I see that. Will told me that earlier, but I'm like, oh, this would have been funnier if it was about some girl that used to bully her in high school.
Oh, okay.
Because that's no, what it pretty much seems like it's about, but I think it's about,
no, it's
Kim,
about, Kim,
it's about Kim,
Kim
Kardashian. Because I know she got bullied in high school, Taylor Swift, back in the day.
Taylor Swift puts
yeah,
out, she puts out too many names in her song. She's
all
like,
the way to the bank.
That's why I thought that was about like some high school. Like, imagine she's so past this, but nah, I'm still going to make a song about some girl that bullied me in high school. I would have liked that better.
No, Taylor Swift's dramatic. But like, who among us is a millennial woman who's not, you know?
Yeah.
Me and Brett, we're not millennial women.
I'm okay, down to get some. I'm down.
I said, who among us who is a millennial woman?
Let's get some tea going like that. Yeah, I'm down to chop it up.
But yeah, I need to listen more. I just haven't. I'm going to maybe do like one a day. Just really.
Yeah, really
I
dig
do
into
like,
it.
I can do it with a broken heart.
Okay. See, I can't put songs
to the Ooh. Chorus is boppy. The verses are fine, but the chorus is fun.
Okay. Okay.
All right, we wrapping up. Gotta go get my kids.
Damn, Sally really wants to leave. 10 more minutes of Taylor Swift? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
That's going to do it for us on the Mail-In Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please subscribe, rate 5 stars, review, and tell a friend about the show. Write in at the link in the Twitter bio at Mail-In Podcast. Sally, where can the people find you?
Sally DeFries on Instagram and X.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
I am Brett Merriman at Schmerryman on both of those platforms, X, FKA, Twitter. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.